Thanks for listening to this Word in Your Ear podcast. If you'd like to get early access to all our productions ad-free, priority booking for our live events, and to take part in our weekly quiz, go to patreon.com/wordinyourear for more details.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
You're listening to a podcast from The Word.
Hello and welcome to The Word podcast. Once again, it's 6:30 in the evening. The day's work is done and it's time to go in the back room and...
It's almost certainly time to hear this sound.
Oh, oh, yeah. Oh God, I'm so sorry.
Oh, no, you can get it dry cleaned. I'll do it. Sorry.
My new trousers, listeners.
Dave's new trousers.
I'm
so sorry. It must be getting a bit warm. I didn't do that deliberately. Anyway, where were we? Regain your composure.
Things could be a bit tense.
David Hepworth in a bad mood, and I'm Mark Allen, who owes him money.
And this is The Word podcast, and coming to you on a weekly basis. You can find out more about it at wordmagazine.co.uk. Or you can go on iTunes and look it up. Just search on Word and you'll find it there. And you subscribe for free and for nothing, listeners.
Gratis and for free. Yeah.
Why wouldn't you? And this happened ages ago. But you and I haven't had yet the Neil Aspinall conversation, have we?
No, we haven't.
Which is what I wanted to have, because I know he's a favourite subject of yours and of mine, isn't he? So explain to people who Neil Aspinall is.
Well, I've just got a great affection for him, really. I mean, he was originally the roadie of the Beatles, wasn't he?
Yep.
I think there were two. There was Neil Aspinall and a guy called Mal Evans.
Who joined later, actually.
And Aspinall, I'm pretty sure, was at school with George and John.
Hello.
Am I right?
But anyway, he's 19 and he was training to be an accountant.
He was.
They said to him, do you want to drive the bus?
He basically wanted to drive the bus. I think he used to drive the van to Hamburg and stuff, and certainly around the early gigs. And finished up, as the bigger the Beatles got, the more they wanted to kind of protect themselves and stuck back to the people that, you know, the only people they could really trust were people they'd known before they became the Beatles. And inside this citadel, they decided to install Neil, who went from being the roadie, ultimately, to being, I'm pretty sure, the managing director of, or CEO of Apple.
He ran Apple.
Cool. Yeah.
For, the story is that he started working for them in 1961... And he only ceased working for them a few weeks ago, in 2007. So that's 46 years.
It's astonishing.
Which is, I don't know, find me another...
Do you think they gave him an alarm clock with his initials incredible?
Find me another employee anywhere in the country. No, yeah. Seriously, you know what I mean? In the
job
banks
satisfaction
or
high.
In any of the public utilities or anywhere who stayed in a job that long.
The same
and you
job.
Can just imagine Mrs. Aspinall. I want you to imagine Mrs. Aspinall, his mum, okay? He comes home one night from his accountancy classes. It's 1961.
Yeah.
He's earning £2.10 a week, right? And he says, tell you what, Mum, I've jacked him a job.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? I'm going to drive
him. Do you know those Beatles? Not those Beatles. Those long-haired, scruffy, good-for-nothing mouths.
And she said,
guitar bands are never going to get anywhere. Decca Records said so.
You have given up, you know, a reliable career with a pension to go off with those fly-by-nights and fitted shirts. It is amazing, isn't it?
It's astonishing.
46 years later, yeah. He walks out, presumably, with a significant pension of some kind, you know. And
I believe the company's done quite well in the interim, actually. In fact, interesting pop fact is that the idea for the anthology series was Neil's. Do you remember those? Well, I'm sure you do. Do you remember, Dave, back in the 90s, yeah. the Beatles put out a succession of three triple albums, the double albums, and they were number ones in America. They were those were double albums at full price, which basically consisted of outtakes, terrific albums of Strawberry Fields Forever, etc. And they made an absolute fortune out of that. They really deserved to. And also,
those were his idea.
Number one was his idea, I'm pretty sure. Subsequently copied by a lot of other people.
Now, have you followed the extraordinary story that Paul DeNoyer used to take us in a back corner, and when he was sure that nobody was listening, and he would tell us the story of Neil Aspinall's love child?
Are you going to tell the story?
I'm going to tell the story, okay. Because I've looked into it far enough to know that this is now public domain. This has been published absolutely all over the
place. Oh, right, okay, I'll relax a bit then. But so yeah, relax. Tell the story, because it is fascinating.
So Neil Aspinall, you know, 1961, is a lodger at the home of Pete Best, the Beatles' original drummer.
Absolutely.
And
right.
his mother, Mona, right, who used to provide rehearsal facilities
That's
for
right.
the young group and so forth. And Neil Aspinall clearly got into a rather closer relationship with his landlady than most people would.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mostly it's just, I'll wash up tomorrow and I'll put sixpence in the meter.
But no.
Not Neil.
Neil said, I'll tuck you in.
He did.
And, you know, this is like rigs being rising down. And he eventually got so close to his landlady.
Yep. That she had some news for him, didn't she?
She became with child.
Yep.
And so, now, I think we ought to call upon the services of Pete Frame to do a special family thing to draw up how Neil Aspinall is related to the rest of the Beatles.
How they are related
because
to
the Because he is the father of the half-brother of the original,
drummer, Pete Best. This is absolutely true.
And, you know, this guy is, you know, well, what is he? He's been in his 40s now or something like this.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know. And this is apparently, everybody's been whispering this around Liverpool for absolutely years, until the whispers eventually
until
grew
eventually
so loud.
They stood on, you know, rooftops and started to shout.
It was in Cynthia Lennon's yeah. books, it was, you know, it's been absolutely all over the place. But I do find it absolutely amazing that it further cements the relationship. And as time goes by, you do see the Beatles more and more as being like something, I don't know, like a Foresight saga or the Borgias or something.
Yeah.
It's not a band. It's a massive, great extended family.
Oh, it's a huge dynasty.
Which is why I wanted to draw your attention to, did you see the announcement about Julian Lennon recently?
I've not seen this, though.
Okay, so Julian Lennon, how old, Mark?
He must be, well, he was born in... So, well, let's work this out.
He's
born
40?
In 64, wasn't he, I think.
So he's 40.
Yeah, 43, I'd say.
Okay. And when John dies, he puts out a few records that do quite well for a while, but not that well. And then that career eventually fades. He has recently done a deal with an American publishing company, a music publishing company, to, well, they've clearly given him a lot of money to have the rights to what he's inherited of his father's catalogue. So a share of Lennon and McCartney has now gone to this company, who've paid him a lot of money. And he said in the announcement, I felt the time was right to bring in a partner to help me manage my inheritance and also my own career. Please note the second bit, and also my own career. So these guys are also putting out, you know, that commodity for which the market is waiting with bated breath, a new Julian Lennon record. Well, you...
No,
don't look at me, Mark, like I'm cynical. Julian Lennon's cynical. I'm not cynical.
No, I know.
Right? And he's taking the money from these people who now get some kind of rake off every time, you know, come together on a, I don't know, on a carpet vacuuming ad or God knows.
Yeah, absolutely.
And meanwhile, Julian Lennon goes and puts his own records out as well. And apparently these people are the people that Courtney Love did a deal with over her share, which is the lion's share of the Nirvana catalogue. And I'm saying this is fascinating because this is a historical moment. What you're seeing is that the catalogues of the great copyrights that came out in the 60s, 70s and the 80s are starting to pass to another generation. Because these guys are not going to live forever. Yeah? And you know, when they wrote these songs in 1965, 66, if somebody had said to them, do you think people will still be interested in these in 10 years' time? They say no.
No, well, they all said the Beatles yeah. themselves.
The idea that not only would they be interested in them when they were 70, but there'd be somebody interested in them when they were long under the sod.
Yeah.
Yeah? And do you think it's likely that your grandchildren might have...
We'd like to have a percentage of
this. Like to have a percentage of a yellow submarine in the year, you know, 2040.
Yeah. Unimaginable.
Whatever. It's absolutely unimaginable. But it's true.
But don't you remember that interview with the Beatles in 1964, a television interview where Ringo is asked how it's going? He says, it's going very well. So he said, what's your ambition? He said, well, hopefully make a few quid and then open a boutique, I think.
A couple of hairdressers. Because his girlfriend was a hairdresser.
Yeah, and he thought, well, you know, clearly this isn't going to last forever. We've had a bit of luck. You know, rock and roll, why should it carry on?
But now, you see, this is fascinating. It's going to shift over. And so... I have no inside track on this at all, but what's happening with Apple and with Neil Aspinall leaving and so forth must be somebody gearing up to say, what's going to happen to this stuff when these guys are dead? You know what I mean? Because these are immensely valuable copyrights and they're in private hands. Find me any other immensely valuable copyrights that are in private hands. They aren't.
Well, no,
Tolkien, Harry Potter, all those things,
absolutely.
They're all owned by big companies.
Yeah, and you know, historically with music, I mean, things go out of copyright, don't they, after 50 years or whatever. And
well,
then you get these incredible compilations.
It's death plus 50 years in terms of writing the song. They're trying to. This is why there's been this whole business of them trying to extend it in the copyright in recordings. You know, Cliff Richard's been getting up rather implausibly saying... Next year, I lose the right to Living Doll. Is it supposed to go, oh, Cliff, that's a bloody shame. I suppose you'll be on your uppers,
won't
you?
You'll be strapped for cash.
And the vast amounts of revenue that Living Doll brings in every year.
But then again, he's probably gone into Fop Records and seen, you know, what I saw at Christmas, which was a 10-CD box set, right, of Boogie Woogie piano tracks by Gary Amos, Milburn and people, selling for £4.50. So you're buying whatever that would be, 200 tracks for £4.50 in a box set.
But you see, do you think that's wrong? I mean, Amos Milburn's been
your question to me is should the grandchildren of Amos Milburn be receiving a little bit of a wedge in the same way Julian Lennon is?
Well, actually, I'd make an exception to Amos Milburn, you know, because he's a black man who probably died in poverty.
Yeah, absolutely.
And therefore, I wouldn't mind his descendants making...
What you're saying to Julian Lennon is, get up in the morning, matey, and do a day's work.
I'm saying, find me, bring to me, okay, the offspring of a 60s, 70s, 80s rock star who is doing a day's work, as you and I would understand.
Oh, so now we've got to the root of it.
No,
okay,
there isn't.
All right. It's a work ethic conversation. No, fair enough.
There is not one. These are the new landed aristocracy.
Absolutely.
They're better off than the landed aristocracy.
Far better off.
Because they've got the, you know, they haven't got huge, great, you know.
Well, they haven't got the inconvenience of having to go out and do the work to make the money in the first place. So they're just,
You see, and I think they're the most idle, feckless, shiftless generation that's ever been seen. And they're all looking forward to participating in this gold rush forevermore, aren't they? Because this technology is coming along all the time.
And presumably,
you continue to make more money out of it.
Presumably, whatever terrific kind of moral strictures were put on these things in the early days about what the usage of this music could be for will be relaxed quietly over the years, whereby, you know, Beatles...
Well, I don't think there are ever strictures. Interesting pop fact. I've got to get this off my chest, and this is the only place...
This is the only place
I can do this. In the standard record contract, in the days of physical product, an LP or a CD or whatever, a band used to have to give the record company back a packaging deduction, right? So if you had an expensive sleeve, they knocked it off your money, right?
Up to what point did that carry on?
Packaging deduction. Okay, now you might think, Mark, that in the days of the internet... That in the days when this stuff just travels down phone lines as noughts and ones with no physical product and certainly no packaging, you might think, Mark, that you don't have to pay that anymore. Well,
you do
wrong. Okay. Neil Tennant told me that recently. He said when they brought in the new deal for the for the digital stuff, Neil jokingly said to the accountant, "I suppose the packaging deduction is still in there." The accountant goes, "Yeah, it is."
That's fantastic.
That's how record companies do their deals.
No, but I love that idea. So you've gone there with kind of whatever it is, Led Zeppelin 4 or something, and said, that'll cost you, mate. Be a bit extra, presumably.
Yeah, definitely. So you've got to watch this with interest, I think. Watch this space with what's going to happen with the next generation of rock stars taking over these vast great fortunes, sitting atop these huge amounts of money.
The Word.
A magazine, a website, a podcast, a way of life.
Okay, Mark, bands reforming. Favourite topic, we never get sick of this. All bands eventually reform.
I never get tired of this.
You've been looking at it from a particular point of view.
Yeah, I wrote a piece in Word about a couple of years ago, advancing that theory, and I really think it's true. And my theory is that any group whose original members are still above ground, Dave, and that's the important thing, still above ground and vertical, cannot resist. I felt this strongly when I went to see the Cream reform at the Royal Albert Hall, which was absolutely terrific. We had not spoken to each other virtually for 34 years. You think, well, you know, you can't go to your grave without revisiting your finest hour. Because you just out of natural curiosity. Even if it's a disaster, you want to know what it's going to be like. I mean, there are obviously financial reasons too. But we run this piece, well, we're about to run in the issue that comes out on May the 10th.
You're running this piece anyway, go on.
But we're running this piece in Word, based around, well, there's a live example, firstly, which is that the only ones, who I'm sure you fondly remember, I do anyway, from the late 70s, you know, Another Girl, Another Planet, etc., Pete Parrott's group, have only got back together. And these guys, I've got to tell you, have had a rough old time.
Can I just point out, at the time in 1978, they looked as if they were only clinging to life by a fingernail.
I'm going to have to show you this. I know this doesn't work to everyone on a podcast, but I'm going to show you the proof. That's them, Dave, in the early days. That's the picture you remember. They looked pretty craggy then, didn't they? They were in their late 30s. And oh dear, that's what they look like now.
It's Mike Kelly out of Spooky Tooth. Looks like a seaside landlady on a Donald McGill postcard.
He does. No, they look all right, actually. But Peter Parrott looks like he only weighs about 7 stone, doesn't he? It looks like Julian
Curtis. And that's on Christmas afternoon.
When he's had a full lamb dinner or whatever. Then our reporter, David Sinclair, goes down to this basement rehearsal studio in Acton. And they play him 3 songs, which has been fantastic. This is the first time they've played together for 26 years, to the Word reporter. And at the end of it, Peter Parrott, the singer, who's had his ups and downs, obviously, and is continuing to do so with the Roman jugs, collapses to the floor with the carpet rugs, collapses to the floor and is just wheezing and gasping and unable physically to carry on because he just isn't quite, at this stage, fit enough to be able to play more than 3 songs in one go. I mean, they are reforming to this tour, and I'm sure they'll be fantastic, actually. I was very fond of the old boys. It's just so extraordinary that so many of these groups are getting back together. So we've attached to this another piece about a load of other groups who could possibly get back together. They're the original members.
They're qualified by being alive.
The key thing is the original members must be alive. So the Smiths we know about, and the Jam, obviously, and the Stone Roses. But ABBA, you see, it's interesting. Once you remember that all 4 members of ABBA are still alive, apparently still talking to each other, occasionally meet at social events, it can't be long before these guys...
No, it's never going to happen because it's...
Why is that?
Blondie...
Agnetha, full
stop. Just will not travel, will she? She is just... She's perfectly amicable with the rest of them, but they did this when they launched Mamma Mia or whatever it was on the West End stage. She was gave it her blessing and everything, but she was supposed to be there on the opening night, but she couldn't make herself go.
Well, she won't fly?
I think she wouldn't fly. But
so
I,
a massive can broadcast a from Stockholm is not going to happen?
Can I make a serious point here? And I don't want to lower your scene in any
way. Right.
But grizzly old blokes can get away with turning up and standing by the red rope and waving to their fans and signing a bunch of autographs. Women, it's a lot harder, particularly if when you were 28 years old, your bottom was being hymned in the public prints by everybody from Clive James, whoever wrote the Bizarre column in The Sun. You know,
doesn't stop Debbie Harry. She still looks pretty good, I think.
Well, okay, but not all women feel the same about it. And she probably thinks, do I wish to be paraded as I was when I was 28, 30, 35? Do I wish to be reminded of the fact that I don't look like I looked when I was 28, 30, 35? I merely offer that, Mark.
All right, well, let's ignore ABBA and let's concentrate instead on the Stranglers.
Right.
That's quite like all 4 of the Stranglers.
Never well there. Known for their look.
The Kinks, Fleetwood Mac, the original lineup of Fleetwood Mac.
Are all the
Mac.
Kinks alive?
Oh, yeah, I think they certainly are.
What,
yeah.
Pete Quaife, Mick Avery?
Yeah, well, the original 4. Sly and the Family Stone. It's astonishing. Sly and the Family Stone.
There is no justice if they're all still alive.
So that must be an indication that taking huge quantities of drugs and drinking and living on a very bad diet...
Medicine counts for nothing.
Medicine counts for nothing. It's astonishing.
Stone is still alive.
Greg Echio, Freddie Stone, Larry Graham.
Larry Graham. Larry Graham on the bass.
Jerry Martini, all alive is the point. Sly Stone, I don't think, in the best of health, but there we are.
Oh, he's mad as a box of frogs.
Mad as a ladder, I believe, yeah.
Mad as a lorry.
As a lorry. Mad as a badger. He's mad as all these things put together, times two. That's how mad he is. Frankie Goes to Hollywood. Pavement. Slade. Dire Straits. You see, why won't Dire Straits get back together?
Oh,
I think it's highly unlikely they won't.
I'll tell you why they won't get back together again. Because Mark Knopfler and his brother, David, it's not the happiest relationship, I don't think.
There are many other bands who have unhappy relationships, but they seem to be able to put them aside.
John, I got a press release Step out only the other day.
The arena.
I got a press release only the other day pointing out that John Ilsley, who was
the
bass tall
player.
Bass player
yeah, yeah.
of Dire Straits when they were utterly planet-bestriding huge, is about to, and you might want to make a note in your diary, he's about to have an exhibition of his paintings in London's swinging West End quite soon.
I can tell by the slightly narrow and appraising glance that you're giving me that you will not be attending this great
And I'm asking function. You, I'm asking you, Mark Ellen, if to imagine what it could be that John Ilsley chooses as his favourite subject to paint.
Oh, you know the answer.
I know the answer, and you're going to go on.
Cacti.
No.
Old soup tins.
No.
No. Birds of Eastern Europe.
No.
Am I even warm?
What do rock stars always draw or paint?
Well, they usually paint. Well, if you talk about Ronnie Wood, what they tend to paint is other rock stars.
But no, it wasn't that.
No.
Guitars.
Oh my God!
They did that, don't they? Bless them. Guitars.
Just still life, though, isn't it?
Sick. I mean, it's like, you know, you don't go down
For
the
For me, it would have done the same, Dave, if a Les Paul had been propped up there. The girl with the pearl earring, sorry, down
Actually,
the door.
To be
darling,
fair,
we don't need you today.
To be fair, didn't
I've got
Vermeer,
a Les Paul.
Didn't Vermeer do a guitar or two? I think he probably
did. And irritating me. They weren't actually guitars, but there was a man playing a lute.
There were stringed instruments.
Yeah, all right, okay,
and,
all right.
And I think Picasso did the same thing,
yeah,
didn't
all right,
he?
15 points.
So,
moving on, what you're saying is...
thinks I'm working in a grand tradition.
Yeah, it's my Cubist period. That's right.
So anyway, they're all being exhibited quite soon. So I shall send you the full details of that.
Excellent.
And maybe Mark Knopfler will come along and they'll all get back together again.
I think it's highly likely.
Anyway,
my words. All right, ABBA, we'll see. They're getting long odds on that.
So I spoke to Crowded House recently, who've got back together again.
Yeah.
And Neil Finn and Nick Seymour. They're very, very keen to have it known that they are together properly. Not just together, we're doing an album, we're doing a few shows.
Oh, right, they're back together permanently.
Yeah. It's kind of they've completely relinked up, and you know we're in this for the long run. It's
that's
kind of interesting,
good, that's good
isn't
news,
it?
Yeah,
and because to them it's very very important, and it's their way of drawing attention to the fact that 99% of fans who do it are just doing it for you know a couple of gigs and you know get the advance, do four new numbers
yeah,
on the greatest.
No, I think that's very honest.
But of course they're
shows
playing
integrity.
They're playing Coachella in California. Alongside, oh, I've forgotten who the other bands are. Jesus and Mary Chain, and Rage Against the Machine,
yeah.
And somebody at Coachella is a bloody genius who's come up with this idea that you know because you've got all these festivals all competing for a, you know quite a small pool of.
So is that their
talent.
USP that
well,
they
it
reform?
Sounds to me it's a really clever idea. They get a band and say if you haven't played together for years. Why not play together at our festival?
Which they were going to do at Cocteau Twins last year, wasn't it?
And as long as you do it with us first, we've got an exclusive. It's a very clever idea. Yeah. And so, you know, Crowded House, Rage Against the Machine, whoever, even the Jesus and Mary Chain, they'll have hardcore fans nowadays will travel from all over the world.
Coachella 2008,
to
ABBA, Verve, Pulp, and the Dead Kennedys.
You should send that down the line.
Happy
to
them days. And, I'm looking forward to it.
And see if they'll buy it. But I thought, God, that's a clever idea. You know, because that's the future of festivals, isn't it?
It is.
Coming up with new spins on things that have been done before. And don't forget, if you haven't already done it, to get your tickets for Cornbury Festival.
Cornbury.
Come and join us.
The word sponsored Cornbury Music Festival, which is a terrific event.
You always say word sponsored as if we put some money in.
No, but it sounds really good, Dave. What? We haven't put any money.
We've got money to spoil it.
Word sponsored sounds like we're just a massive kind of corporation that's just sponsoring things.
So
immensely generous and tax beneficial way.
And at this point,
we just turn up, don't we, really, with a little flag saying word. So can we have this tent and put all our favourite bands on, please?
Sing Lofty.
Sing Lofty, yes.
The Word, a magazine, a website, a podcast, a way of life.
So anyway, at this point in the programme, podcast, whatever, in response to massive public demand, people have been in touch via fax, email, text, cleft stick, absolutely everything, and saying, can you get Mark Ellen to tell the story?
I couldn't see where this was going, actually.
Tell the story of Elton John's birthday party.
Oh, right, okay.
Allegedly.
Well, if I can remember it, allegedly. I've used the word
and it's
allegedly.
Time for the hoary rock anecdote.
Yeah.
Over to you, Mark.
At this point, really, I should be. It's like the fireside speeches. I should be throwing a kind of log on a fire here, don't you think?
Absolutely.
The sound of a purring cat, maybe crumpets cooking. A crackling log.
I'll just do that.
But anyway, I'll just do that. No, David asked me about this. I don't know, I've forgotten all about it. But you know when you hear those stories in rock and roll that may be true? And I think people's desire for them to be true is so great that any attempts to kind of refute them just eventually just melt away.
They're just plain wrong.
They're plain wrong. And Elton John has, I think, in the past had the story told him, has not denied it, David. Why not? Because it's just such a great...
Elton is bright enough not to deny this one, isn't it?
It's like Keith and his dad's ashes. You know, let's just keep it all going. But actually, I like to think this is true, because in the 1970s, you know, when rock and roll clearly had a lot of money in its back pocket and was operated mostly by people with huge stately homes, like Blandings Castle, somewhere in the southern counties, at one of these things, probably one of Elton's houses, Elton held a dinner party, supposedly, right?
Birthday party.
Or was it a birthday party? It was a birthday party. And it was mid-afternoon, and, you know, everyone was dining on various courses, and attractive waiters were topping up their balloon glasses of fine Napoleon brandy.
Please note, waiters.
Waiters, right, yeah. And Elton
little
had promised...
Little bit of theme maybe
Elton had allegedly promised entertainment. After dinner, which they imagined that the Paul Merton du jour would probably get up and tell a few hilarious anecdotes, possibly hoping not. But no, the vast velvet drapes were pulled aside and the French windows opened.
They opened. Can I make the sound of them opening?
It's gone. Yeah, go on.
Somebody pressed a button under the table. That's very James Bond, this. Elton kind of tapped his glass.
That's right.
Asked for attention. Pressed a button, hidden under the table, and they went...
Do you remember that fantastic film about rock and roll? Was it called Strange Fruit? You know, the one
I've never seen that
with Billy Connolly in it. But anyway, Bill Nighy plays this rock star who is brilliant. He gets all his remote controls mixed up. He's trying to open the curtains because he's got a rock star's mansion, and it just turns on ITV. He's really, really pissed off. But anyway, so Elton's curtains purr gently, almost soundlessly apart,
and everybody turns their attention.
Everyone turns around, and the flunkies throw open the French windows to the wonderful vista, which I would imagine probably was a rolling lawn.
But it was dark at this point.
Was it? I don't think it
because
was.
He
actually
pressed another button.
Was it dark? Anyway,
he pressed another.
I think we'd defeat my story if it was dark.
He illuminates the lawn.
Oh, all right. Let's say it's okay. He illuminates the lawn. Mercifully, it was also a cloudless sky and a full moon. Because what they saw was, you know, in the distance, obviously.
They heard.
Well, McAllister, the gardener, was just putting the final touches to a bit of trimming of a herbaceous. Well, he said, McAllister, you won't enjoy what's going to come now, old boy. Go back home to the missus and have your supper. Your supper's waiting. Anyway,
Scrotum, the wrinkled retainer,
which is also there, actually, digging up some parsnips. They say, Scrotum, leave it. Just leave it, mate. Go home. It's the same. We're having the after-dinner entertainment, at which point he broke into a run. And showed a clean pair of heels. Anyway, in the distance, they heard another sound, which was even above the sound of the purring curtains. My God, how extraordinary. Can you hear it outside? Can you hear that? It's just outside the sound of an aeroplane going by our Islington loft, our Islington era. It was, indeed, the sound of an aeroplane. That's synchronicity.
A light aeroplane.
They looked up, and let's say some super troopers now have been beamed up into the sky. And whoo, that's the sound of the super troopers. And out of the aeroplane come these small dots.
They're like flowers.
Nobody has a clue what they are, and it's fairly obvious eventually that they are indeed parachutes blossoming into life, one after another. But dangling from the end of the parachutes appear to be individuals wearing absolutely no clothes. And as they get nearer, those individuals are undeniably male. One by one, they tumble gracefully, prettily, to the tundra, the soft tundra that McAllister has only recently been watering, and have only just got time to take off the leather harnesses from their
toes. The harnesses.
And skip prettily into the rhododendron bushes, pursued by elder dinner guests. Now, I know what you're going to ask me. Let's say it is time, because that's a story I've heard a billion times. Elton, I interviewed Elton myself fabulously in the 13th floor suite of the Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas 2 years ago. I didn't put that story to him, but various others, and I don't think he would have denied it, because Elton's got more sense than to try and pretend that he didn't live a fabulously exotic and highly decadent and extremely naughty life. And didn't finish most dinners, to be honest, with a load of attractive young models parachuted into his garden and being pursued energetically by some enthusiastic homosexuals. And I think I thoroughly approve of the whole thing. It's first rate.
Elton,
God bless the old boy.
God bless your mom. That's about all from us. That's
all from us.
wordmagazine.co.uk, podcasts@wordmagazine.co.uk. We'll be back next week. Cheers.
This podcast was brought to you by The Word. Details at wordmagazine.co.uk.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.